Good morning, everybody. It's time for the Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care Show. It's Elder Care Radio, only on News Radio 890 925 KDXU. Here's Richard and Kaylee.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to Elder Care Radio, brought to you by Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care. We are here to help you find resources and help that you need during your most difficult times. We have a large senior community, and regardless of what your need is, without any obligation, we're here to help and answer questions and steer you the direction that you need for help. So please give our office a call, 435-477-6999, or check us out on our website at pathwayhospicecare.com.
Yes, and November 15th is coming up. We all know what that means, right? November 15th?
I do. Pick me.
That is the day that the Catholic Church, through their Stephen Ministries, has asked us to participate with them with a discussion about how we can improve care in the community. And everybody in the community is invited. We would love to see you there so that we can get to know some of the people that, you know, the seven people that listen to us on the radio.
There's nine, actually.
Nine, okay. But we also, I made a mistake. I erred on this. And so
last
I just want
week.
Yes. I said it was at 7 o'clock, and that would be incorrect. The doors open at 6. There's going to be food, and then we're going to start the discussion at 6:30. So we really
and
appreciate everybody coming
mark
out.
That on your calendars, everyone. It was such a successful event last year that the Catholic Church invited us back. So don't miss out this time, and it looks like, you know, we'll be here again next year, but don't wait a whole year to find out about the services and resources that are available to you.
To get your questions answered, or
sure,
to hear other people's questions, so that you get a better idea of what's available, not only from us, but from other places in the community that may be useful.
Right, and we'd love to meet you, and we'd love to answer your questions. And if you don't have any questions, just come out and socialize with some good food and friendly faces from the community.
And by good food,
I mean... Next Tuesday, right?
Yes, next Tuesday.
15.
Yeah. Okay. So by good food, they have their own in-house chef.
They do.
Who does an incredible spread.
And his wife does all the floral arrangements, and two very talented people. So we feel very lucky, fortunate to have been invited by them to celebrate with the community and to help the community here in Southern Utah.
So we're really looking forward to it. Again, that's this Tuesday. Be there between 6 and 6:30, and then we'll have an open discussion and answer some questions, and there'll be prizes and games, and it's just a festive atmosphere talking about, you know, death and dying. And
That is festive.
Yeah.
So,
right. Well, so we've had kind of a whirlwind of experiences this past week, Kaylee and I, with so many things going on, and we're not going to be able to share all of them with you this time around, but we do want to talk about some things, and that's where we're kind of getting into that, you know, death and dying thing. Because when KDXU first approached us about hosting this program every morning, you know, our immediate response was, oh, yeah, talk about death and dying and hospice. That sounds like it's going to go over really well, right?
But that is not what we are about. We're about helping the community in all resources.
Right, but even in the hospice, we are about living your best life, right?
Right.
So that's
yes,
really the key here. But there have been a few times in the past that we have touched on uncomfortable topics.
Yes.
Hopefully to just break that ice and get the community talking about things that they need to talk about anyway.
Andy and I immediately just had a flashback of something that we do
probably,
not want.
Probably thinking the same thing.
Yeah.
And he said it.
Yes.
But the reason we want to have these open discussions is so that everybody kind of moves a little further away from their comfort zone, but into something that may be better, right? That's really the goal. When we're talking about, you know, fecal incontinence.
There it is. I knew he was going to say that.
To be able to say, well, it exists, so let's see if there's a solution, instead of saying, well, I don't want to talk about it. And we hope that somebody's been helped by that. I do, because it was a tough conversation.
Well, we do have those tough conversations because it's important to start the conversation. And that's kind of what we're talking about again today. But we want you to know that we don't just talk about difficult conversations. But really, until you get to the point where you can break that barrier and start the conversations, we can't evolve and we can't heal and we can't accomplish the things we want to accomplish. So it is important sometimes to say those uncomfortable things.
Yeah, we want to get past all those barriers that we put in place, those stop gaps, those things that we put up our walls to avoid a circumstance when that circumstance is no longer avoidable. And that's really what we kind of want to talk about today. Now, Medicare has been pushing in hospice for a broader range of care, right? It's not just clinical care. They also want to make sure they deal with all of the things that social workers do and, you know, getting documentation done and addressing end of life legal and, you know, those kind of issues. But they also want us to deal with the spiritual part of this in a really deep way. They have encouraged us to have chaplains to work with people, because they know that there are people who are going to be dealing with those problems, and we need to be the resource available to them. But not a lot of people feel comfortable with those resources, and that's really what it comes down to. You know, if you're not comfortable talking about it, you're not going to talk about it. That doesn't mean that it's not something that would be better to not talk about. It just means that we aren't comfortable with it.
Right. And it's interesting how communities or generations have different feelings about things. There are some cultural communities that it's very taboo to have any discussion of death. Mm-hmm. And so we're respectful of that, and we hope not to offend anybody today. But we have been getting calls from some people that primarily there's a huge organization in the Salt Lake City area. They're doulas. And a lot of us have heard of the term doulas when it comes to birth doulas. What does doula mean?
So the translation comes from a word for woman who helps, right? That's the definition that word comes from. And it makes sense.
It started as, you know, women who helped women during birthing processes.
Right. And these life-altering or life, you know, really life-ending and beginning issues. And so there are birth doulas, and they're not midwives. A midwife is somebody who helps on the clinical side and may give some moral support. The doula is kind of more on the moral support side, where they are just working with them on the birth and getting the most out of that experience.
And if I might interject as a woman to just explain that unless you have gone through a birth, you may not have thought of things that might change the experience for you, so that when you look backwards, you say, darn it, I wish I would have known that. A doula's position is to talk about those things in advance and to help you have a birthing plan so that you can have those be brought to your attention, those things that you may not have thought about and that you're not going to be in a position to deal with at that time. So now let's relate that to a end-of-life doula.
Right.
They have a beautiful role in that they can gently bring up the conversations between patients and families or friends that unless you have had those conversations in the past, or unless you've experienced those on multiple occasions, you may not think of the important plans that need to be made and the things that need to be said.
And not only for the person that's going to go through that personally, but for those around them.
Especially for the family, actually.
You know, it often happens that when somebody is going through one of these events, and we're going to use death as the example, people around them are not comfortable with it. And so they tend to purposefully or subconsciously kind of remove themselves from that. And a lot of people end up being very alone.
I think it's important to remember that a doula can be helpful and have an integral role regardless of your chronic condition. So it's not necessarily at the very end planning how you want to leave this earth. By no means is that the totality of it. But when you're diagnosed with something like cancer or Parkinson's disease, to be able to help your family explore ways to have this discussion and to see both sides of it is so, so beneficial. We've talked about an experience before where we were reached out to to after we did a presentation at the Parkinson's group at the senior center, where the husband, just who had Parkinson's disease, just really didn't know how to express to his wife his fears, because it didn't seem, I'm going to say probably didn't seem manly, but the other side is he didn't want to put more of a burden of worry or hardship on her to realize that he was actually scared and feeling vulnerable. So in that position, we were able to go out, because we have had many of those experiences, and help them as a family come together to help prompt conversations where then they could talk about it and come to a place where the family understood the fears, not out of weakness, but out of the reality of what his body was going to transition through. And we're talking over the next 10 or 12 years. We're not talking immediately. Parkinson's is one of those, you know, slow progressive diseases. But it's important to have those conversations so that the family can appreciate what the patient's going through, but also so that the patient has an opportunity to outgas and relieve themselves of those internal woes and feel like they're being supported. And doulas do that. They have a lot of experience there. They take a lot of training. They do a lot of volunteer hours. So doulas are fabulously trained at helping families digest their conditions.
Well, and because we are the only hospice specialists in Southern Utah, I think maybe we have a little different perspective on this than some. I mean, most companies that do hospice as a sideline, it's just kind of a continuation of the clinical care that they're used to, and they don't really focus on all these other aspects. But we know that it matters. We've had plenty of experiences with patients that have had a true change in their understanding and comfort with this thing that they can't control, because they are able to open up. And so this has been important to us, and we've had this opportunity, and we've been cultivating over the last few years of working with doulas, because up until now, there haven't been any doulas in Southern Utah. But
there are now.
But we have that now available, and they want to reach out to the community and really be involved in it. So we're excited about this opportunity that we have to work with them and to get them involved in the community, and everybody in the community that may have a use, we'd like to get that opportunity for them.
And there may be some of you out there right now that are thinking, oh, I can't imagine ever needing that. But I want you to just stop for just a minute and take a deep breath and consider your neighbors, maybe people in your church or your community or your extended family, and consider that anybody who has recently been diagnosed with a chronic illness, anybody who is struggling with issues, whether it's emotional or physical issues that has not been diagnosed yet, but their struggles are still real, their pain is still real, those are the people that you want to consider. And if you don't know how to have those conversations with them, please call our office. We can set you up and direct you in a way with doulas. And, you know, if it's a long-term service, then some doulas do charge a fee and others volunteer their time. So I don't want you to let fear be your focus of, you know, not being able to cover the cost. We will help you find the resources you need, but it is those conversations that help us accept and then move past it. It's not just an underlying stress. It's something that we've said, okay, I have this, I'm going to deal with this, but now I can deal with the things that I can control, or I can make a plan going forward so that you can just lift that weight of burden off of your shoulders and move forward with life issues and enjoying your life and the world around you.
Right. Now, you know, from my own experiences, I can tell you that chaplaincy has been a wonderful experience for me. I've had opportunities to talk to people and help them in that. But I also know that there are people who have, you know, concerns with that. It's not a comfortable idea of, you know, talking to somebody outside of who you would normally talk to. But that may be the best place for you. You know, we may believe, or other people may believe, we have a spiritual support system that is, you know, there for us. But this process isn't necessarily just a spiritual process. It's not a matter of what you believe and how things are going to be on the other side. It's what is happening to me today and how do I manage that? And so there have been people who've been, you know, not wanting to be involved with a chaplain because they think, well, I've got my own minister that, you know, I should be talking to because that's who I rely upon. Chaplaincy is not about replacing anybody in your life. It's really integrating just another level of care. Hopefully the chaplaincy is able to help your minister or, you know, spiritual counselor be more involved and help through that. But there are people who are not excited about any religious conversation. They want to have a non-religious circumstance. And that's more where the doula may fit in for somebody. They're comfortable with the idea that there is no religiousness about this. And while chaplaincy isn't intended to be, there's still that, you know, that preconceived notion. So we have a lot of options. We have chaplains, we have doulas, and we would love to share that. In fact, you know, the group of doulas that we've been working with that are now coming here want to help people in the community more than they want to get paid. And so they're willing to volunteer. And anybody, it doesn't matter whether you are on hospice or not, it doesn't matter whether you're a patient of ours or not, because this doesn't have anything to do with Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care other than we want this to be a success in the community. If you have those concerns for yourself or a family member and you think you want to be able to have somebody come and see you, just let us know. If you're on hospice with another company and you know that you want more care, we're not going to try and convince you to change hospices. That's not what this is about. Just simply contact our office and let us put you in touch with somebody who can be there for you just to have those conversations, to talk about the things that you want to talk about. They don't have any other agenda than to help you have the best experience that you're going to have. So we would love to get those calls and have people come out. And so let me kind of describe what, you know, I took some stuff off the internet on doulas to give kind of an example. And here's, I think, a good starting point.
Can I interject half a second? We actually had a message come in that I think is really important. And I hope they don't mind. I don't know who sent it in. I hope they don't mind that I'm, you know, bringing this up. I don't have names to use, but I agree with them. Sometimes when we talk about putting mom on hospice, let's say, it sounds very dehumanizing. Like, mm-hmm. you know, you're talking about your pet. We need to keep the humanization into it. We need to take the fear out of it and talk directly about our loved ones, but also the emotional difficulty or tragedy in it. Be tolerant and accepting of everyone's emotions and how they deal and how they process it, but really keep the human aspect alive and flourishing in the transitions or the changes. What else did she say? You know, she said, it just sounds so dehumanizing, and please keep the person. It's not your mom. You know, it's more than just your mom. It's the head of your household. You're, you know, I often say this, but I look backwards and wonder if I ever said it to my mom. You know, I didn't know if I could take my next breath if she wasn't in the world with me. And to be able to have that opportunity, and this goes right back to the doula, to the chaplains, just to being able to have the conversations. I wish we would have been better prepared, or somebody could have taken me to the side and said, it's okay to, in a silent moment, tell her that. Tell her that you don't know if you can live your next breath without her, but it's going to be hard. You'll go on, you will survive, and you know that life will keep going on, but you just want her to know how important she was in this world. Isn't it beautiful when we can almost hear our eulogy while we're still alive? Don't you think we should have our eulogies first? We should, where everybody says the beautiful things about us before.
So that message, I just want you to know that we appreciate all the critiques because we don't think we have the perfect message all the time. And for anybody who feels that we're not saying it in the best way, please let us know. Truth is, our perception on hospice is that it's all about the person. It is not about the process. And that's where we try and differentiate ourselves, because this is a personal experience. This is a, you know, a path that we may not want to be on, but we're on. And we, as Pathway Hospice Palliative Care, as Kaylee and Richard, we want that to be the most personal experience it can be, which is part of the reason that we are always looking for ways to adjust the care that we provide so that it is what somebody wants instead of what somebody decides is needed, if that's a good distinction. So I appreciate the comment. I really do.
Yeah, wouldn't it be great if we could change the way we look at things, and instead of saying or picturing it, imagining it, that we put mom or dad on hospice, and so now we're just going to let them, you know, live out their days until they pass, and then we'll have a funeral. Like, okay, this is an announcement of an upcoming funeral. Wouldn't it be far better if we actually took the benefit of what hospice could be, and we looked at it as a true benefit, support, help, resource? Because at that point, everything goes from co-pays and qualifying and worrying about it to free. It's all covered under your Medicare insurance benefit. Wouldn't it be better if we could have them on longer so that we had time? And when we're announcing this celebration of life, we get to celebrate life while they're still here. Wouldn't it be better, instead of seeing it as, okay, so now we're, you know, this is a pre-funeral announcement, to a end-of-life celebration? And how long will that end-of-life last? It can last a couple of years. It can last. And it'll last longer if we're focusing on the positive and the beautiful and the good.
Mm-hmm. And that kind of segues right into this, you know, the explanation of doulas. This was something I picked off the internet that I thought was probably the best explanation. It's like a travel guide in a foreign country. Right?
Oh, that's interesting.
You know, you imagine yourself, okay, so I'm going somewhere where I really don't know everything about it, but there's somebody there who can help me pick out the details that are important, you know, find the most valuable experiences that are available to me, not only for the patient but for the family, just to be there. Obviously, you know, this is a tour that everybody in this world is going to take, however long that tour is for them. But wouldn't it be better to have somebody there who just wants to make sure that it's the absolute best experience possible?
And it certainly does not have to be, it can be a religious journey, but for many it is not. I spoke with an atheist doula who had some beautiful expressions and ways to help the families have conversations. So don't think this is just if you want a spiritual journey. This is about a life journey, an opportunity for you to experience your life for as long as you can hold on to it.
Because this is probably the final chapter in everybody's life book. And
we're all going to have them.
And shouldn't we make this chapter as great as possible?
As, I mean, robust.
Isn't that really what it should be? So that's really what we're hoping to do with everything that we do through Pathway Hospice and Palliative Care, is to improve people's lives. You know, living is the best thing that we can possibly do, and we should live the most that we possibly can. So a little bit further, just to go further in this definition on the doulas, and again, we want you to know that we have this service available to anybody. Just give our office a call, and we'll try and get you in touch
at
with somebody.
At 435-477-6999. There, right. I said it twice. Okay, go.
So a doula is a trained professional who provides continuous physical, emotional, and informational support to their clients before, during, and after. Okay? So that's really what we're looking for. So again, we really want to see everybody out on Tuesday.
This Tuesday, November 15th,
right?
6 p.m. at the Cousy Center at the Catholic Church.
Which is on 2nd West and 2nd North.
Yeah. Most people know where that is. If you don't, just look it up. Cousy Hall at the Catholic Church, November 15th at 6 p.m. We can explore and expand more about the resources available to you there. And there are a lot. We've touched on it over the last couple of weeks, and we're really looking forward to meeting you and having the opportunity to give you more direct, specific assistance wherever you need that help.
Okay. So we are happy to be here and share with you these experiences, and we hope we can do that more in the future.
And to the person that texted in, I hope I addressed your concern completely. And if not, give me a call and let's talk about it so that next time we are on the radio, we can expand further, because I absolutely validate your concern. Thank you, everyone. Have a great day.